Hail Varsity Magazine presents the Hail Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hail Varsity.
Day by day,
day by day,
we get better and better.
We get better and better.
We get beat.
We get beat.
Hail Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Welcome to a Tuesday edition, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com. Presented by the Nebraska Lottery, Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning. A lot to get to, not a super busy day with hard-hitting breaking drama. But some good news for Nebraska fans we'll tell you about in a little bit. It is Big Ten Buffet time in 1 hour, and I've missed him, Rick Pizzo. We'll cover about everything with Pizzo. We'll ask him about Pacino. Pizzo and Pacino. When it comes to movie roles. Get into that.
Sounds like a law firm.
It might be. And the last law performance Pacino had was in Devil's Advocate.
Can't say I've seen that one.
Oh, it's a good one, Teej.
I watched a Tarantino film the other night.
You did?
Yeah.
What'd you watch?
The Inglorious one, you know.
Okay.
The one I can't finish. But
Bastards.
Oh, we can say that word?
Well. No.
It was pretty good. It was all right.
I haven't seen it. Forgive me. So we'll get into some football, actually. Mitch Sherman will join us. We'll talk Nebraska baseball with Mitch. Some college football with Mitch, and we'll hear from our friend Stacy at Blur Parties. They're going to be kicking it off the right way for the College World Series. You can join us today, and you're welcome to Tap the Line, brought to you by Schilling Bridge Cork and Tap House. The numbers to get in, 466-3776, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865. That's what you need to dial when you hear the cue to call for your chance at the Smokin' Hot Dad promotion. What is that? The Southern County Stainless Steel Electric Smoker. Qualify on Gregoth and Smith. Qualify here on Hail Varsity. And we'll get you qualified this hour. We'll get you qualified next hour. And Dad's Day is around the corner. Just handle it yourself and win this smoker. We'll do a drawing this Friday. We'll do a drawing next Friday. That is two smokers for you because we love you. Also, a gift card to Leon's Gourmet Grocer, $250. Also, a gift basket from Leon's that includes spices, rubs, wood chips, wood planks, and a steak certificate. If you haven't smoked a steak before you grilled it, it's heaven, my friend.
Sounds like it.
It is good. Sticks tickets, you can text to win those for Friday. You got to text Roboto. Forgive me, I didn't make that up. All caps, Roboto, 88474. World of Outlaw tickets, HailVarsity.com. 6-month online subscription. All that for you.
And Salt Dogs.
And Salt Dogs tickets. We'll figure out when we don't give something away. What is Nebraska giving away to you? Room. Do we have a hallelujah chorus? Okay, I got to ask this question, okay? And I'm going to use my pops as an example, okay? Let's say late 80s, early 90s, once you hit 40, you tend to grow a little bit, sideways and outwardly. Metabolism is your enemy. And you just don't burn Miller Lite or Jack Daniels like you used to. As you get older.
Unless you're me.
Well, yeah, like I said, 40 is the number. And around the late 80s, early 90s, my father was 40. And he didn't whine about this. I just know it was a tighter fit sitting next to him in West Stadium, West Balcony. This is pre-new skybox. We were right next to one of the original diamond boards. The big screens where you saw Tunnel Walk, okay? But I just knew that before some of the renovations, I don't know for how many decades Nebraska fans slammed into Memorial Stadium. And sometimes you had too much Thanksgiving before Oklahoma, Nebraska. It was a tight fit. Mm-hmm. I may exaggerate a bit. This is not to body shame anybody, because we got to be politically correct, of course. But what Nebraska has done to enhance your experience is they have decided to widen the seats. Why is this news on a Tuesday? Because it shows that they do care. Think about the most humid football game you've been to.
Oh, yeah.
Think about the coldest football game you've been to. And think about your normal Saturday night kickoff against Arkansas State on BTN at 7. Schedule announced, too. Are you comfortable? You're there to cheer. Some of you are there to want to be entertained, and you need Wi-Fi. Okay? That's TJ.
Yep.
And then some of you go because you still kind of feel like you got to, where you could easily just stay either in your parking spot in this plush tailgate area, or you could go to a bar in the Haymarket.
Or you could be on your recliner.
Or you could be at home.
Because, look, I've said, I think the at-home experience is just as good, if not better. So this is the way that they need to combat it, and this is a great move,
listen,
by the university.
You will never, ever, ever talk me out of – and, I mean, the last game I went to in the stands, I think I took Carson to Idaho State a few years ago. Okay, I took him – I think the last game I went to with my dad and some family was Virginia Tech, Bo's first year. Okay. Otherwise, I'm up in the box, and I'm thankful for that. But you can still feel and hear. And you can feel the shake for big moments. And I don't care what you tell me about how awesome your stadium and your stadium seating / flat screen / surround sound is, my man. When Jano breaks a third and short for a touchdown against Wisconsin.
That was great.
But there's just not that many moments. But you got to be there for it.
I went to the Oregon game last year. That was great. I wouldn't care to go to the end of the home games.
Well, last year sucked. I don't blame you. I would have sold my tickets and...
Like Arkansas State, 7 p.m.?
Party
I'll
on.
Be at home, man.
That's a you problem. Deciding to skip the season opener. But that's fine. I'm not judging you.
I'm just saying.
I'm saying if you do go, TJ, eat and drink all you want the Friday night before, as long as you're at work at 7 a.m., because there's more room for you. Back to the stadium seating. Listen, 18 inches was what the norm was. It's been widened to 22 to 24 inches. That in North Stadium, rows 80 and above, section 14. In South Stadium, rows 69 through 98. Seats also widened from 18 to 20 to 22 inches. Listen, that is going to shrink your sellout number requirement to hit. It's not that big a number to forge a sellout streak. You're just this is in the name of convenience and comfort versus, oh my God, we're going to fumble the sellout streak. That's what this is. I'm glad they're doing it, because if you talk to fans that have been going for a long time, that's one of their main complaints. Listen, you have better bathroom accessibility now with all of the different upgrades, facelifts, renovations. You have the ability to see what's going on with the different video boards, okay? If you have the cake, you can buy a suite or talk somebody into letting you into a suite. Or you can just stay at the Champions. Whatever. You have 100,000 options to catch a Nebraska football at home or there. But now if you're still one of the throwback diehards, you have a little more room to chill. I'm glad they're doing this.
Oh, me too.
It's not super sexy to talk about, but I think it's important. And it's something on your mind. I mean, do you have family members or friends? Is that something you've heard them complain about?
When I've sat with my dad in the North Stadium, that's really noticeable in the North Stadium, and that's where they're doing a lot of expanding.
Right, you're sardined.
It's really cramped. To me, this is a lot like what they're doing at Marcus Theaters. They're getting rid of all the chairs, and then they're bringing in the reclining, comfortable chairs, and there's less seats available now. But, man, is that a way better experience and way more comfortable.
That'll keep you coming back.
Yep.
Now, between the alcohol, the popcorn, and the movie, I might be paying $15.50 to fall asleep.
Maybe, unless you're going to $5 Tuesday.
But you're not at Memorial Stadium. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Let's talk quarterbacks for a second. And We mentioned a little bit about Max Dugan of Lewis Central in Council Bluffs. I was able to reach out to a couple of folks near to Council Bluffs last night. A former reporter that I used to work with, and then also Cranach knows the area pretty well. Also Rivals reporting that Max Dugan, while offered by Nebraska, and he spoke to a couple of different outlets, I think the World Herald and Journal Star, and he's paraphrasing, excited about the offer. I don't know that he's a Nebraska kid. I know he's Council Bluffs, but follow me here. He's not a Nebraska kid and diehard fan. And I think you're running into that around the area. I think you're running into that more so than you'd think. Like in my own household, Junior likes Michigan State. Don't know why. He just does because they won. Since he was able to...
I mean, that's the big thing, right? A lot of these kids are born now.
There's Oregon, there's Alabama, there's Michigan State, whoever else, maybe some SC. But it's not Nebraska. Not always. Not like it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you and I grew up loving Nebraska football because, A, they were good, and, B, it was kind of a must in our households.
Mm-hmm.
But with Max Dugan, I mean, you have real competition here, and I just wonder how it'll shake out for Nebraska. They're not looking for a commitment now, but I think they're on to second, third, or fourth choice of really good options at quarterback for 2019, and Dugan's there. But is Dugan a kid that wants to get completely out of the Midwest? I don't know that he'll end up at Penn State, but that's kind of body type-wise and from an athleticism standpoint, he reminds me of McSorley. I don't know if he's that dynamic of a player yet to be in college, but from a height standpoint and a weight standpoint and an ability to move around in the pocket, that's what kind of he strikes me as. He loves Notre Dame. That's where he'd probably end up wanting to go, what I've been told. He likes Iowa, too. And he's at the other opposite end of the state. Iowa City's all the way east, and he's a punt away from Omaha in Council Bluffs. And there's a lot of Iowa in Omaha, obviously. So I'm just wondering here where Nebraska, if this is who they're set on.
And well, and how set were they on him if maybe they only offered him because he couldn't get Gunnell?
Well, obviously, but he's in this range of 1A or B,
mm-hmm.
and that's the truth of the matter.
Yeah, I know, but I wonder if he feels that too. Like, oh, I wasn't your first option, so maybe he won't be as interested.
Well,
the first
team on him was Iowa State,
mm-hmm.
not Iowa, not Notre Dame. So don't play the, well, you didn't offer me right away. In comparison, no, Nebraska did not offer him right away. But I think what you can say about Nebraska is this, that they are 1,000% sure that they want you at quarterback before they offer. That's not always the case at a lot of schools. They'll just throw darts at the board about the offer at quarterback, whether they can take you or whether they want to take you. Nebraska is pretty sincere about their offer. So if that goes out, that means they've done their homework, they've done their due diligence. I mean, Langsdorf's flown out 1,000 times to see kids throw and work them out. So that is... In of itself, I think a Nebraska offer quarterback should weigh more than a lot of other places just because they're that specific. Here's the other part of this, too. Nebraska's in a situation right now for the first time in forever where they are pretty stocked at quarterback,
mm-hmm.
okay? So you have a kid in POB and in Jebbia that have a long and bright future in front of them right, as we speak right now. One of those two will win the job post-Lee, okay?
Yeah, I still think having all three here without one of them transferring is going to be rare, but
no,
we'll see.
Well, no, I don't know how that'll shake out either.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. But let's just say you're going to have one of the two backups here.
For sure.
And you got Lee for 1 or 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm a kid, even though I'm a incoming junior like Dugan or whoever the hell else are offering in 19, I think they're looking at this and going, well, can I play right away? I mean, am I going to be able to come in and compete for the job? To me, that's You're good early if you're going to be good at quarterback. I know that. But it's okay to take a year or two before you get thrust in there. And that's just, it's a double-edged sword to be this particular at quarterback from a recruiting standpoint. You get your guy, you get him in here, you get him groomed, and then you set up shop and you space it out and you just stockpile and stack development, talent, and ability, ideally. But at some point, kids will see the fact that you're pretty loaded at quarterback, and, well, it's not that I don't want to compete for a job, it's just that there's too many cooks in there that are really, really good. I can go somewhere else and start. So you get too many quarterbacks here, it's going to be hard to attract other quarterbacks. That's a reality. Unless in the rare instance you're kind of like Jimbo Fisher and you just have quarterbacks there, or you're USC. But those are two of the instances I can think of. Ohio State as well, with Braxton, Barrett, and Cardale. But for the most part, you better hope you hit on a really good replacement quarterback once your all-conference performer graduates or leaves early for the NFL. So, Nebraska not early, and Nebraska pretty loaded the quarterback right now. That might be an issue for the 2019 quarterback, whoever Nebraska ends up with. Mitch Sherman's up next.
Former black shirt, Jay Moore.
That thing is big, Jay. That thing looks hurt, Jay. Oh, man, pull back up, Jay. Jay, we could get some big money for that.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
A little less than an hour away, Rick Pizzo, Big Ten Buffet with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Your chance this hour to win that smoker for Father's Day. Say yes with me on that. Welcome in, proud papa, great writer, ESPN.com's Mitch Sherman, at Mitch Sherman on Twitter. Mitch, how we doing?
Doing well. That smoker sounds like a good gift.
Oh, it's incredible.
I think my kids should give me that.
I got a smoker a couple, 3 years ago.
How do you like it?
Oh, I can't use it because we're in a freaking apartment now. But when I can use it, it's awesome. I mean, I can't screw ribs up on it. And my neighbor Joel helped me build it, which means I gave him crown and he built it.
Built it.
Yeah. And put it together is the better way to put it. But yeah, no, a smoker would be good, Mitch. I think you need that.
Yeah, I think I've mastered the grill by this point. So let's move on to something more advanced. I'm ready for it. I'm gonna mention that. Someone who needs to know.
Well, I think so. And speaking of mastering things, how soon till Nebraska masters the postseason in baseball? Let's start there. What's your reaction to the weekend for the Big Red?
Well, I think it's a league wide thing with the Big Ten, and you know, if you thought the Big Ten was the place where Pete with the SEC and the ACC and hey, you know, let's put the Big West number three. The Big West has got two for two on placing teams from the regional into the super regional. There's only two teams in the regionals to begin with, but you know, those two can play some ball, and there are other teams out there like UC Irvine that have done it. But that's not what we're talking about here. I think the problem goes beyond Nebraska. The problem goes to getting the high-end players that you need in June to come play in the Big Ten. And while Indiana made a splash and had some difference-making players, you know, like a Kyle Schwarber on the roster a few years ago, broke through, got the league to Omaha for the College World Series, despite having five teams in the postseason this year, I think the Big Ten has slipped a little bit in its ability to compete with the power conferences in college baseball, and you saw that in the Corvallis Regional with Nebraska. You saw it with Michigan. You saw it with Indiana. Iowa made a little bit of a run, but ultimately didn't get to the championship game at the Houston Regional. So, you know, you're not alone in your misery, Nebraska fans.
No, Nebraska's not that unique to teams that are disappointed. Nebraska is unique when it comes to its fan base and a vocal minority questioning the direction of the program. That is ridiculous to me, but I guess I'm not surprised by the demand for greatness, even though it's been special every time Nebraska's made it to a super regional or beyond, because we can count on two hands the number of times that's happened.
Yeah, it's been 12 years, and it was a conference ago, and that was a time where Nebraska was benefiting from the Big 12 and recruiting players regularly out of the state of Texas. It takes a different kind of plan for Nebraska to do it now, and it's a plan that they have not necessarily mastered. There is a way, and Dave Van Horn did it early in his time, find a lot of success in recruiting players that weren't necessarily on the radar nationally. You know, when he became established, got things going, and started winning Big 12 tournament championships, it was easy for him to open doors began to open for him in recruiting areas of the country that were also filled with players coveted by other Big 12 schools, by the SEC, and the powers of college baseball. But when he got started with that thing, he did it in unorthodox ways, and I think that's the model that you have to follow or try to follow or find a similar one if you're Nebraska today, because you're not going to go toe-to-toe with LSU or Texas A&M and recruit the same kind of guys and have enough success in that area to be able to build a team around those players. So, and Darren Erstead knows this better than anyone, and he's been fighting this challenge since he came to Nebraska. I think it's still a work in progress, and, you know, it remains to be seen if the potential is there to do it that way and break through that ceiling and get another Big Ten team back, not just to Omaha, but get it out of the regional round into this weekend, the second weekend of the tournament.
Mitch, explain a little bit how Van Horn went about doing what he did. I know he had power hitters. He also had terrors on the base path like Will Bolton. He had a guy named Comanay on the hill. I mean, it was all working.
Yeah.
But how did they – what was his plan, I guess? You were around that team quite a bit.
Yeah, I was right there, watched him every day. It was lightning in a bottle. You know, I don't know that you could duplicate that. I don't know that Dave Van Horn could duplicate that. But he found guys from Minnesota, found guys from Canada, multiple players, John Cole, Adam Stern, who were just terrors at the plate and on the base paths and in the outfield. You know, you mentioned Comanay. He found a kid from Hawaii who had no offers anywhere else and turned into one of the best pitchers in college baseball during that era. Who was not recruited by A&M or Texas, had a chip on his shoulder and was, you know, like a coach on the field. There were enough of those kind of players that were diamonds in the rough or under-recruited. You know, a kid like Matt Hopper out of Colorado, mm-hmm. who came to school as a pitcher and turned into a guy who hit 20 home runs in a regular season. That's easy to draw up on paper, and it's so hard to produce a team in that method and turn them into a group that went to three straight super regionals and two college world series and then laid the foundation for a team 4 years later that could have won the national championship. I know that 2005 Nebraska team was 1-2 in Omaha, but when you look at the talent on that roster and the guys who made it to the big leagues with Gordon and Chamberlain and Dunsing and Watson, they had enough to win the whole thing in Omaha, and it just didn't materialize for Mike Anderson that spring. It was a team that was really high on talent, had the kind of talent that you see from teams out of major conferences that make it to the College World Series today. And they got to that point. They were able to recruit those kind of players in part. And now those guys I mentioned were from Nebraska and Iowa, but they were able to recruit the complementary players and the other guys on that team because of the success they had in 99, 2000, 01, and 02.
Mitch, want to go back to the weekend for a second, since it's been a week since we've spoken with you. But Bill Snyder and his situation with Corey Sutton, and the new AD kind of stepped in, and Corey Sutton's been allowed to go pursue his football career elsewhere. And Bill Snyder's had an amazing career, and it almost came crashing down because of him not wanting originally to release Sutton from a scholarship. Your thoughts on this? Is it just a new school across the board now, where a guy like Bill Snyder, who's run football programs and does care about kids, they their iron fist is no more because his power was completely taken away.
I think he messed up. I think he knows it. I don't think he realized what was going on at the time as far as the way that and this is the difference from his first stint at Kansas State to 2017. That happens 15 years ago when there's no social media and the 24-hour news cycle. I don't know if it turns out like that. Maybe it does eventually. Maybe it never blows up, but his words were transmitted around the country the instant he said them last Thursday night at that booster event in Overland Park. And it went from being a minor story with Corey Sutton complaining on social media then deleting his tweets to a huge story because Snyder implicated him for failing two drug tests and just really had a bad look about himself. And I don't know if I don't know what was involved there, what was going through Bill Snyder's mind. You know, he is definitely a guy who is set in his ways. And I think there have probably been instances at Kansas State in the past where he's been reluctant to give players releases and ultimately convince them to stay, and they've helped his team. And this is not one of those times. And I think he misjudged it. And, you know, fortunately for him, he's got all that equity built up. And it was handled the right way by the new athletic director, Gene Taylor. They did it in-house, and they made a quick decision after the mistakes were made, granting him his full release. I don't think you'll hear anything more about it. I don't think this is the beginning of the end for Bill Snyder. I don't think it's the first domino to fall in what's going to lead to an untimely, ugly exit for him. I think because they acted the way that they did last Friday, I think it goes away. I don't think there's any kind of a lawsuit with FERPA or HIPAA or anything like that. I've heard those kind of allegations. And I don't even think that's accurate, that you would have grounds to go that direction. And in some way, I think it does exist. But Sutton doesn't want to be a part of that, I imagine. I think he's happy to get his release and just wants to go on and continue his career elsewhere. So it was ugly for 24 hours or maybe a little bit less than that, more than that, if you want to go back to Wednesday when the first comments came out. But I think it will pass, and it's just an example of what happens today, as I said, when news travels so fast.
Mitch Sherman with us, Hail Varsity Radio, ESPN.com, at Mitch Sherman. Mitch, about 60 seconds. What's coming up from you on ESPN, bud?
A ton of baseball. I'm actually working on something right now for Thursday that looks at the top pairs in college football, the top duos. At the running back position, the receiver position, and so forth, all across the field. So two guys on the same team who complement each other and play well together, and could be the best at their position in the sport. So that's kind of one of those fun June off-season type pieces that we get to do this time of year. And beyond that, it's all college baseball for me, looking at the Super Regionals and then gearing up for next week in Omaha when the eight teams arrive.
That'll be good. That'll be outstanding. Mitch, thanks for a few minutes. Fun to chat today, bud. Appreciate it.
Yep, good talking to you guys.
Awesome.
Thanks.
There he is, Mitch Sherman with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com. Your chance this hour to qualify for that Smokin' Hot Dad promotion, the Southern County Stainless Steel Electric Smoker. We'll have Smoker giveaway on Friday, a chance to qualify for that shortly. Get qualified and win right now. Callers 3 and callers 4. A 6-month online subscription to HailVarsity.com. How's that chase for the 2019 quarterback going? What's the latest from satellite camps? Catch it on the message boards at HailVarsity.com. Breaking news, inside info, and a great online experience for you. Caller 3, caller 4, right now for HailVarsity.com. 6-month subscription on us. Caller 3, caller 4, 466-3776.
Forget to catch any segment of the show?
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Find the podcast of the show on HailVarsity.com or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
All right, all right, all right.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Oh, yes, we have a Marshawn Lynch sighting and press conference for you shortly. Why? Because we can. Back with you on Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com. Congrats to those of you who qualified for the HailVarsity.com and won the six-month online subscription. More recruiting thoughts. Brandon Vogel crushing it with satellite camp coverage. Sauter Heyman crushing it with selection and beauty. Pure Grown Diamonds, Nebraska's exclusive dealer, Sauter Heyman. Real diamonds grown in the lab. That's what Pure Grown Diamonds are. And instead of mined from the earth, they're grown in that lab. And they have such just magnificent beauty. They're sustainable. They're eco-friendly. And Pure Grown Diamonds, 10 to 40% less than traditional earth mined diamonds. So is it an anniversary for you coming up? Is it a birthday for her coming up? Yes to both. Maybe it's proposal time. Go see Rick and your friends at Sauter Heyman. Go talk to him about those Pure Grown Diamonds, SauterHeyman.com, 12th and O downtown, South Point Pavilion, or out west in Grand Island to go see Sauter Heyman. Pure Grown Diamonds, some of the biggest and best sellers in Sauter Heyman history. Now, 2 minutes here on Brett Favre. It's story time with Uncle Brett is what we're going to title this. So, did you ever wonder when you see somebody on TV, be it a Wrangler commercial or a Bic commercial or whatever the late night infomercial on him shaving with the whole beard trimmer thing is. Mm-hmm. You ever wonder if he's that good an actor or if he's BS? And the Times Picayune did some footage on old Uncle Brett doing some thoughts on his career. He's not out of retirement. I know he kind of looks like Santa when it comes to the Snow White look, but he looks still in good shape. But Brett Favre told a story about how he was saved by everyone's former favorite BYU quarterback, Ty Detmer.
I think we're in my second year in Green Bay, and we had drafted Ty Detmer, who's a good friend of mine, who threw for, he was a Heisman Trophy winner, threw for 120 touchdowns and I don't know how many thousands of yards, which back then was a lot. And he and I got along great. Mark Brunell was the other quarterback. Both those guys started for quite a while in the league. And
good quarterback guys. Room.
And I would always sit in these meetings and, you know, if you don't know what's going on, the trick is to act like you do. And I'm the starting quarterback, you know, and Holmgren would be up there and he'd say, all right, look, guys, they, you know, he's writing nickel defenses in and we're going to do this, we're going to attack it that way. And I'd always be sitting there going, I hear this nickel defense all the time, but I'm not real sure what it is.
Okay. Fake it till you make it.
That's great.
And two, did you ever wonder, because I've always wondered out loud, why did Jerry Glanville, a guy I loved watching coach for the Houston Oilers, he drafted Favre and then traded him when he was in Atlanta. Remember the Dirty Birds and God, who do they have? Deion Sanders. And it was just it was a good early 90s team. And Man in Black, Jerry Glanville, leaves two tickets for Elvis, was the head coach, and he got Favre in the second round. What put Favre on the map is he beat Bobby Bowden in Florida State to open the year, and he ran the wishbone. Favre ran the wishbone in high school and threw it once in a while at Southern Miss. And we've seen the picture of him in his jean shorts, his mullet, and his smoker t-shirt on draft day. So for him to say, what's a nickel? I'm not that shocked. For him to make it a year in Atlanta's system not knowing a nickel,
yeah,
doesn't shock me. But it's one thing to say it. It's completely another thing for it to be true that he didn't know this far along into his career that he didn't know what a nickel defense is.
Then he'd throw me for a loop and say, you know, the long yardage situation, dime comes in. Dime.
Or a dime.
What the hell is dime? They would say, over, under, front, and you got this, and you got 30, 34. But I was afraid to ask. I'm the starter, you know. Ty Devin was over there, you know. And so after about our second year, I said, finally, I said, I just got to know. So I said, Ty, I got to ask you a question. And Ty was about as goofy as I was. He says, what's that? And I said, what's nickel defense? He gets real quiet. He says, are you serious? I said, yeah, I'm serious. He says, well, they basically take out a linebacker and bring in a DB. I said, that's it? He said, that's it. I said, who gives a Not to mention, sometimes the guy coming in is better than the linebacker. But, you know, I mean.
Who cares is the moral of this story. Let's just throw the football around and have a Wrangler commercial time.
Yeah.
Right? Some guys are really what you see on TV. And Favre's a Bubba. And that's okay.
Mm-hmm. Man.
Is that not
still the same? I
said,
love that.
TJ, we gotta run story time with Brett Favre. And you're like, yeah. This was good.
Well, no. I was thinking at a different time, but yeah.
This was good.
No, this was good. I love hearing stories like that.
No, and you, like a couple of times we talked to Amon Green. And Amon's like, dude, Brett's just hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I believe you, but what's an example? And Amon will look you in the eye and say, Favre, in the huddle, like in big moments, and Amon's never shared this on air, in big moments, Favre will, as Amon said, puts it, pass gas.
Yeah, I've heard this, yeah.
In the huddle.
Mm-hmm.
Like as long and as loud as he can
mm-hmm.
to break the tension.
Yeah, I've heard that one for sure. He just lets it fire, man.
He just tries to light the tundra on fire.
He says, are you serious?
I serious. That's so funny. What's a nickel, what's a dime, and who the bleep cares? You gotta be bleeping me. Yeah, this poor Ty Detmer. Ty Detmer is like 5'2" and threw for a ton of yards. What a Heisman to BYU. And he's in that quarterback room because he's smart. And he's like, Brett, you're the starter, man. You don't know what a nickel or dime is. But listen, though, you're far. If you've already been traded once, school's probably not your thing, let alone meeting time in the NFL isn't your thing. Not that you can't do it, but you just got to apply yourself. So to ask, because you don't know, how many of us have kept our mouth shut and our head down in school because we didn't get it and we were afraid to ask? Then there's old Brett Favre, not stepping up, not piping up, but just cheating off his buddy. What's this answer?
That's why he's the gunslinger.
We'll wind down hour one on the way with Hail Varsity.
Subscribe to Hail Varsity Magazine. Call 1-855-3-HUSKER or go to HailVarsity.com/subscribe.
That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing!
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
We will get you Marshawn Lynch unplugged next hour. We will talk Nebraska baseball and all things Big Ten in 10 minutes. With Mr. Rick Pizzo, Big Ten Buffet. And what do you call these, TJ? The mortal lock for 2017, you degenerate gambler, you, with the teams to bet on. We will run those teams down. You've seen the over-unders ad nauseum now. But some dude that's really smart with getting money from casinos versus donating to have them built has kind of his hit list out.
I thought you were talking about me.
No. I don't know. I mean, you're just kind of quiet, and you're friendly, and you're knowledgeable, and you're talented. But I don't know the inner workings or the deep, dark T.J. Henning secrets. I mean, the world learned about you and Coach Papik
mm-hmm.
yesterday. Okay? I don't know if you're playing, you know, digital video poker at home at 100 a hand or what your deal is.
I did when I was younger, though. I tried
my
hand.
Did you really?
Yeah. When World Series of Poker was huge in the mid-2000s, I was definitely on
Yahoo
or something like that.
We did a TV show, and it was with Time Warner 10 years ago. They had a poker tournament in Lincoln here, so we filmed it and then did the voiceover work for it. And yeah, it was nuts.
Hmm.
I'll play poker, but sparingly, because I always get my backside handed to me.
Yeah. You know what the movie I watched the other night for the first time? Rounders.
Great movie.
That's a great movie.
I love
that
Rounders.
That was a good one.
No, that's good for you. I'm proud of you. That's something 20 years old. You're like, give it to me. Did you stumble upon it, or did you get it?
Yeah, I saw it on Netflix, and I had a buddy like 5 years ago who gave me a DVD to watch it of his, and I never did. So I was like, oh, I'll finally watch this.
Were you turned off by the Damon or the Norton?
No, I love Damon.
Okay.
So.
What took so freaking long?
I don't know. I take my time with some things sometimes.
Apparently. Yeah. Gretchen Mol was in that movie. He was his girlfriend that left him.
Okay.
She ended up being in Boardwalk Empire. I always wondered what happened to her. Never liked her. Wasn't sad to see what happened to her in Boardwalk. Okay. Let's get you qualified for that smoking dad promotion. That smoker. Listen up.
Hey, can one of your other men come over here and comment on the meat while I'm cooking it?
Yeah, I got it.
Man alive, there's nothing better than a hamburger grilled to perfection.
Hey, don't flip them too often now. You don't want to lose your juices.
Caller 9 now at 402-466-ESPN is instantly qualified to win a brand new smoker this Friday from ESPN 1480.
Smoking! All right, get fired up, get dialed up, 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Caller 9 right now qualifies for that smoker. Smoking Hot Dad, it's an amazing smoker. Gift card to Leon's Gourmet Grocer. Gift basket from Leon's Gourmet Grocer. Caller 9 qualifies now. The giveaway is Friday, 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Caller 9 qualifies now for that smoker.
Hale Varsity Magazine presents the Hale Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hale Varsity.
Day by day,
day by day,
we get better and better.
We get better and better.
We
get
beat, beat.
We get beat, beat.
Boom, beat, beat.
Boom, beat, beat.
Hale Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Back at it, Hale Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. And we welcome in Big Ten Buffet Time, Mr. Rick Pizzo at BTN. Rick Pizzo. Rick, been a busy week for you, man. Thanks for the time. How are you?
I'm doing fine, and it has. Usually, Chris, you know, things start to slow down here. Beginning of June, school is out of session, but then you get the Ohio State news that I think on Monday came as a shock to pretty much everybody except the insiders with Buckeye basketball.
Yeah, let's start there. And for lack of a better question, does Ohio State know what it's doing? And I say that with all due respect because their athletic programs certainly speak for themselves. Mata's been a winner, and he's won at a super high level.
He has, but I think that the writing was on the wall when it comes to recruiting. And you know, Thad's been dealing with a lot of health issues since a bad back surgery left him with something called drop foot, which is extremely difficult for him to be mobile. He sits on that stool during game time. He has a specially made sole on one of his shoes to even up the difference. It's a really sad injury, and the way that it happened, I personally have experience with it because my dad had something very similar to happen to him, and it really changed his life. Thad's just 49. But the problem is that now other schools can negatively recruit against Ohio State. You don't know how long he's going to be there. He has this disability. He can't do the same things that our coach could do. It certainly has no integrity to it, but it happens every day because college basketball is a business. And I think as much as anything, this was a business decision by Athletic Director Dean Smith.
with Thad, and I don't know a ton about his medical history. Thank you for outlining that, Rick Pizzo, with us. Was there any hope for better treatment, or was this just something he was going to have to gut through? Because Thad Mott is a tough dude. I mean, he had tough basketball teams. I know the recruiting had dropped off, but do you think it could have risen back up?
I think it was going to be really tough. Again, I will go back to my personal experience. My dad had the surgery about 2 years before Thad did, and he went from being a very young, active golfer, walker, a guy who got out and about all the time, to literally being in chronic pain. And that's what happens with back surgeries going awry. I mean, surgeons themselves will tell you that the last thing they want to operate on is a back, because it's either perfect or there are major issues coming out. And unfortunately for Thad and unfortunately for that program, it turned out to be the latter. I just don't know that he could have kept up the level that he needed to keep up physically to keep pace on the recruiting trail. As hard as he would try, and he tries as hard as anybody I know, as blue a blue-collar guy as it comes, I just don't know that physically it was going to be possible.
Where does Ohio State turn, and what's doable?
Well, for me, the first call, and hopefully the last call, is to Chris Mack and Xavier. I thought he should have been the number one guy at Indiana, which actually would have made this process a lot easier, because Ohio State would have clearly gone after Archie Miller, a former Thad assistant who knows how to win in Ohio. But instead, Archie goes to Indiana. So now, to me, you flip the script. I mean, Chris has done everything you could ever possibly do at Xavier. Took him to an Elite Eight when nobody expected him to do anything last year. Ohio State can give him as much money as he wants, all the resources he wants. Let him dot the I every Saturday for the first football season he's there. I mean, you do anything you can. And then if he says no, then you open up your pool. And I think this is still a top 20, 25 job at worst in the country. The expectations are not unrealistic. They don't expect you to win like they expect you to win every year in football, win a national championship, but you can win. That took them to two Final Fours. I think it's a great job.
It is, and there's lots of support, and there's been great strides made, Rick, with Ohio State. Again, the expectation is be around that tournament bubble or be in, but the process the last 10 years, I mean, you've been to Final Fours, you've been to Elite Eights, you've been to the championship game, and that's kind of risen the expectations. I want to go to college baseball for a second, Rick, and talk Nebraska. Huskers did something that hadn't been done in 12 years, and that's win a Big Ten championship or a conference championship in one of the three major sports, men's sports, and Coach Hjerstad brought that in. Nebraska got the regular season crown. They did not have a good NCAA tournament, and there's been some outcry here locally, again, vocal minority questioning the direction of the program. What's your reaction to that, and what do you think of the job Coach Hjerstad's done?
No, I think that's misguided. I mean, you win a Big Ten regular season title. I understand that the regional did not go the way that the Huskers wanted, but I think that narrative is completely different if you win just one game. You know, no one expected them to come out of that regional. You're being placed in with a top overall seed. So I think the disappointment comes in not winning a game. And I understand that after the Big Ten tournament, this was a team that clearly didn't play its best in the postseason. So folks were wondering, well, maybe the NCAA tournament, they can get it back. And they didn't. But, you know, the same thing for Michigan. I mean, Michigan was the highest-ranked team in the Big Ten for most of the year, and they didn't win a game in their regional either. So sometimes it's about bad matchups. You have two bad outings, or you have a couple of pitchers that don't have good days, and you're done. So I think you need to look at the entire body of work. I think this program has gotten better since the day that Darren Hjerstad took it over, and I think it is absolutely heading in the right direction.
Let's talk about another program. That's Michigan State. Coach Mark D'Antonio has reviewed the charges brought against his players this spring, and he wants to kind of recenter the program, kind of reinforce the core values, their core principles. How far away is Michigan State to getting back, not just wins and losses, but just kind of finding that sweet spot they were in? There's been a lot of off-the-field issues with them.
Yeah, I still think a little while away. We discussed this today and with Howard Griffith, one of our lead football analysts, and I asked if he thought that they can now put this behind them and focus on football, because Mark D'Antonio made it clear today. He said, I haven't really wanted to talk about football for 5 months. And that is about as loud a statement as a football coach can make. The trouble is, I don't think it just goes away. I think inside the football room and inside the building, they can start focusing again on the fall and what their roster looks like, because they know what was previously unknown. That doesn't mean that they're not going to be answering questions. When the players are made available next week, they're going to be peppered with questions about nothing but getting past this. So I still think this program is a while away, and, you know, I hate to take it onto the field, because the most important thing is teaching that sexual assault is not okay in any situation on any campus, no matter what's going on. But eventually the one thing that will help the program heal is if it starts winning again. And I know it's sad and it's somewhat short-sighted to say it's all about wins and losses, but honestly, that is the thing that is going to help Michigan State get past it the quickest.
Rick, a lot of satellite camps going on. Give me your top three coaches. A young Rick Pizzo with a rocket for an arm at quarterback would go see. Who are the three coaches, if you could, current day coaches, you'd go to a satellite camp and be trained under?
Man, that is a fantastic question. I'm gonna kind of go off the radar a little bit here, okay? Because the first guy I think I'd go to is Mike Leach. And the reason that I say that is because it is completely different. Because things are done in a completely 180-degree different way than almost everybody else does things. Now, I know that the air raid offense has exploded and we see it in more places, but he was one of the pioneers of doing this. I mean, the numbers that they put up at Texas Tech and other places. So I think he would also be remarkably entertaining. So, you know, for me, that's probably number one on my list. You know, number two, and this is going to come as a surprise to you, is I would say Jim Harbaugh. And the reason I say that is because I have not been granted the access to those Michigan practices like I have to most of the other Big Ten practices and facilities. I'd love to be in there and see, why do his players love him so much? The media wants to kill him. The other coaches seem to be a little bit angry. The NCAA has issues. I want to know why his players love him so much. Mm-hmm. Because I really think that's kind of out there. And the third guy, and this is really a little bit different, is Clay Helton. And the reason I say that is because USC is its own culture. It is a West Coast, laid back, you're recruiting a certain kind of guy, but that program's expectations are as high as any program's every year. They expect to win a national championship, and Clay is such a chill, laid back dude that I would love to know how he relates that and his players' personalities to what the external expectations are. I know there's not three names you expected to hear, but for me, that would run the gamut of what I want to see.
I tell you what, I think you nailed it with the Pirate, and he's kind of a frequent guest of ours, so we've got a great relationship with...
Is he really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Pirate comes on, used to come on once a week before he got hired back up, but he... we'll get him about 4 or 5 times a year. He'll be on, I think, tomorrow or Thursday. And we don't really talk football. We'll talk Breaking Bad or we'll talk Cuba. I mean, we'll do whatever the hell we want, and it's kind of fun. But, yeah, I mean, he's my draft pick, too. I can't throw a spiral like you, Pizzo. But, I mean, I think you nailed it with your choices, because each reason, each dynamic is so impressive. And you're right, man. Helton seems just so... away from the pressure, even though it's so thick out in SC. I love that call. Harbaugh, I like it. And then Mike, the Pirate, he wants his guys to kind of take over their own destiny, for lack of a better term, and apply his teachings. That's how he's explained it before. It's kind of Jedi-ish, I guess.
Yeah, but you always get an answer, and you get an honest answer. Now, you may not like it. You may think that he's being really salty, no pun intended, with the Pirate, but you may not like what he has to say, but honestly, to me, that kind of stuff is refreshing. That's why I like John Calipari.
Yep.
A lot of people think he's miserable. A lot of people think he's the root of all that is evil in college basketball. To me, he tells you who he is. This is how I'm going to do things. I may skirt the law. I'm going to try not to break it. I know he's broken it a couple of places. But when it comes to the one and done, he says, I'm never going to tell a kid to come back. It is disingenuous of me to say, You're here for an education when you came to Kentucky as a five-star recruit. You're there to get yourself ready for the NBA, and if you're going to be a lottery pick, you go. I respect coaches who say, this is who I am. If you like it, great. And if you don't, maybe even better.
Give me an honest answer here. The Stanley Cup tied at 2. Preds, Penguins, not just game 5, but what do you see for the rest of the series?
You know, right now, I mean, Nashville obviously has all the momentum, but more importantly, they have a much better goaltender, and their defensive core, I mean, Pittsburgh's defensive core is horrendous. You could argue that if they were to win the Cup, it might be a Cup winner with the worst defensive nucleus in the history of the Stanley Cup Finals. Obviously, Crosby and Malkin and Gensel make up for that, but Nashville is so good on the back end that right now I think they have the advantage. And one thing I'd add, though, I love the atmosphere there. It looks amazing. I would love to be there for Game 6, but I offer a cautionary tale. Everybody's saying that Nashville is the next great hockey city. Look back to 2007 when the Carolina Hurricanes won the Cup in 7 games over the Edmonton Oilers, and it was absolute insanity. Maybe it was 2006, around there.
Yeah.
Absolute insanity in Raleigh, one of the loudest buildings I've ever been in any sport, and 3 years later they couldn't give tickets away because they weren't winning. Be careful. I'm not saying Nashville is going to be the same thing, but be careful of trying to turn Nashville into Hockey Town South.
Joe Paterno will be played by Al Pacino. I love me Pacino. Obviously, the two Godfathers, we can pick and choose when we talk about the third Godfather. Pizzo, the most underrated performance, in your opinion, of Pacino's career?
Oh, my goodness. The most underrated. Well, you know, I don't know if Scarface is underrated.
Sure.
But everybody wants to talk about, you know, Scent of a Woman, where he won. I think he won for that.
He did.
And, you know, I mean, Scarface, to me, the accent is perfect. The anger that he portrays. I mean, he literally seems like a guy who's coked up 24 hours a day. I'm assuming he actually wasn't. Maybe that's a bad assumption to make. But to me, I'm not so sure. I mean, The Godfather, obviously, is classic, right? I mean, sure. It was amazing. But if you're asking underrated, I'll go Scarface.
Okay, here's what I got. And I know it's pretty well known, even though it was kind of the last of the great mafia picks. Donnie Brasco, I thought he was tremendous in.
Awesome. Awesome movie.
And I'll tell you what, like the performance in Scent of a Woman's like one of my favorites. I absolutely love his rage in that movie. But what he did in Devil's Advocate, I mean, playing Satan, he was perfect.
Yep.
He was perfect.
Not a great movie. I think I looked away from that because I didn't think the movie was very good. They're entertaining. Anything that Keanu Reeves is in, I don't know that we could ever consider it a thing of cinematic genius. I like him, but let's just be honest.
But you had Charlize in there, but him playing, you know, Lucifer was too good. Just the constant temptation. I thought he was phenomenal in that. I mean, I know the movie. I like the movie. I'm ashamed to say to you, since you are kind of that way towards I own it. I own it. Okay.
It's one of those that if it comes on TBS at 10:30 at night and you're flipping around the channels, you're probably going to hang out for a little bit.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Rick Pizzo, thanks for hanging out with us. Big Ten Buffet at BTN. Rick Pizzo. Rick, we will catch up soon. Thanks for a few minutes today, bud.
Schmitty, my pleasure. Do me a favor. Ask Leach if I can come this fall, all right?
Oh, hold on. Seriously. He's open invite to either Pullman or Key West. He's given that. So we just got to figure out a time.
I choose Key West.
Not a shock, Pizzo. Pirate will be on with us tomorrow at this time. Thanks to Rick Pizzo, Big Ten Buffet. Marshawn Lynch audio. He'll never be asked back to the NFL Network. Caller 4, right now, a pair of World of Outlaw tickets. Caller 4, right now, 466-3776. Caller 4 now.
Want to be heard?
We know he's not. Let him finish.
Call 402-466-ESPN or text HAIL to 88474 with your message. Chat with us on Twitter at @Schmidt_radio and JMore44 and TJ_Henning.
Who wants to have some fun?
Now it's back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Big thanks to Rick Pizzo, BTN Buffet at BTN Rick Pizzo tomorrow. As his request, Mike Leach, a hello to the Lincoln Athletics Baseball Club. on their way to practice. All of you except the third baseman, welcome to listen to the show. How's that work? Car full of kids, wanting to hear Hail Varsity Radio. Coach is smart enough to listen to Hail Varsity Radio. And the third baseman's like, no, I'm good. Smell grounding.
Yeah, or maybe he just hears you enough at home.
No, I don't talk to them at home. Time to buckle up. 7 out of 10, too many. The number of unbuckled vehicle occupants killed on Nebraska roads last year. If you'd used your seatbelt, 69 would have been alive. Save more lives. And to do so, 60 law enforcement agencies across the state on the lookout for seatbelt violations. Click it or ticket campaign is giving over an additional 6,000 hours of traffic enforcement operations. That means you could get a ticket if you don't buckle your safety belt or don't have the child restraint taken care of. Click it or ticket. Remember that. Save a life. Nebraska Department of Roads and Highway Safety Office. We do the seatbelt reading because Marshawn Lynch, OTAs going on in Oakland. And listen, I'm excited to see him. Coach Del Rio put a little love out on Twitter with some vintage beast mode.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm only here so I don't get fined is a great T-shirt. It was a great ploy.
About that action boss.
About that action boss and the Pepsi stuff, the riding of camels. Doing whatever Marshawn did was wonderful. What he did today, though, is guarantee that he'll never be on live TV again.
NFL Network, not with a seven-second delay today.
No delay, but Marshawn happy to be home.
Allow you to do playing in Oakland and still be in the community during the season and during football time?
Well, I don't think it's no different. I think it's just more of the timing. With me playing and having to go to work and other places, just didn't allow me to be able to do the type of things that I was able to do while I was retired. And, I mean, I'm at home. I do them when I'm at home. So it just gave me more time to do the same that I would have been doing, you know, if it was something I could have been doing year-round.
I don't know what he was doing year-round. I know that some of the same meaning he wants to be in the community, spending time and putting effort there. That's the best gist of what his answer was per the question. And he wanted to be in Oakland before they left.
Mm-hmm.
2 years. Running clock. More from Marshawn Cut 2.
You're not just joining your hometown team, though, Marshawn. You're joining a team that's on the rise. I mean, you got the Defensive Player of the Year, Khalil Mack. You got the quarterback and Derek Carr, the receivers. How exciting is that for you to join a team that seems ready to take that next step?
Yeah, I got the whole town, you feel me, though, riding with me. So, I mean, you know, that's good what they got going on, all that good you just said. But I got a whole new Oakland behind me, though. And, I mean, you know, the way we feel just about where we from and why we represent where we from so hard is because we know what the struggle is and how we get down. So, you know, every home game that I get to come to this one, I'm probably going to be riding with the whole town. So,
do they have to go to Vegas? Can they stay another 3-4 years so we can have them here?
That good stuff you just said. Defensive Player of the Year, great quarterback, you, Crabtree. And but I feel like I'm listening to Snoop with just that Oakland, SoCal. I know Oakland's not in SoCal.
The way he was standing today,
but the West Coast lingo.
Oh yeah,
God, he's
just so chill.
But he is, and the what he's saying is when he talks about struggle, that isn't just an image.
Mm-mm.
He's a dude who came from nothing in Oakland with his family, and he is about surviving, and he is absolute survivor to get where he's become the premier back in the league, even though he's been retired 2 years. I mean, you just know what level he took Seattle to.
Oh man, I will never forget that run here against the Saints.
No, me neither.
That was incredible.
I don't know if that was a Bullock he ran over or not at safety.
Oh, one of Nebraska's Bullocks?
Yeah.
Oh, I never thought about that.
We might have been out of the league.
They might have been out of the league, but...
Okay, well...
But yeah, that run, holy moly.
That was
Child's
insane.
Play, get off me.
Yeah. That was good.
Home run.
Yeah. No, and I mean, that's the thing, man, is Marshawn's heart is in the right place.
It is.
And when he's talking about struggle and the rest of you riding with me, good for him.
Mm-hmm.
More from Marshawn.
When you're going into something like that, knowing that you got a whole, like, it ain't like, you know, I'm saying I'm coming to y'all city and I'm gonna be and I'm riding with y'all. This is actually like born and raised and bred and pissing in them hallways and running down them alleyways, and I really did that right here. And now I get an opportunity to play here. So, I mean, you know, all of that you said is great, and that's good. But
so the short story to this is I'm perfect on my editing from a profanity standpoint, with that last exception. But it's important to him. It's not the Marshawn tour. It's I get to be here, and you get to come see me before we leave. And that's all I got to say about that.
Pissing in them hallways.
That's enough before I get beaten down here. I can't, you know, can't you see Marshawn? There's like a 10-year-old. Like, he had to go. So he's mm-hmm. remembering the hallway he went. Then running through the alley after he got caught peeing in somebody's hallway.
Look, for the here and now, though, I think that's a great addition for the Raiders.
Absolutely.
Like, they're not a team I root for, but they're a team that I'm going to look forward to watching.
Oh, I'm going to raise my hand and be a bandwagoner, and I, as much flack as I've given Oakland fan, I know a lot of them, El Kent, Bolte, all of them. I mean, I have Brian, used to produce here. I mean,
like, I love watching Carr.
I've got a thousand like Raiders fans that I just know, and I got the biggest kick out of old school Raider fan that shows up to a national wing eating chain to watch the Raiders because they're not, you know, when they don't play Denver or Kansas City, you can't see them.
Yep.
So last fall, everyone, you didn't know the guy's name, but you just kind of nodded at each other wearing a Raiders jersey. So many throwback Bo Jacksons. I swear to you, there are thousands of woodwork Raider fans. They are coming out mm-hmm. of the woodwork. They are proud and loud and happy with their football team this year. And you mm-hmm. get Marshawn. It's pretty nice. Good coach. Yeah. Good program. Good setup. It's nice. Okay, TJ Henning, you're trying to educate and make money for those. You're not quite the financial advisor you want to be yet, but with some smart decision-making and some gut play, you two can make what TJ makes. You found some sure bets with Vegas.
Yeah, according to Tom Fornelli, who writes for CBS Sports.
Okay, Tom Fornelli has can't-miss picks
mm-hmm.
when it comes to college football and the over-unders.
Mm-hmm.
You've heard for a month a Vegas sports book or a team you're familiar with. Here's the over-under. What do you think? Well, let's move on to what do you think to what do you know and put your money where your mouth is. Fornelli says, what about who?
And number five, he's got Ohio State. He's taking under.
The fifth best wager for you is Ohio State under 10.5.
Yeah. Which, boy.
That means
God,
somewhere.
That's so tough.
So he's saying they will win 10 games, but not 11.
Mm-hmm. He's saying they're going to stumble somewhere between Oklahoma, Penn State, and Michigan, and maybe slip up elsewhere. Tough road games against Nebraska and Iowa, he says.
That is rough, though, for Ohio State.
That is.
I mean, think if they can't run it like they want
to. They're so talented.
Think if Barrett has to throw it. Uh-oh. Listen, I think they revenge punch Penn State. They may even blow out Penn State. Okay? Now, that's crazy to say in June. I think Oklahoma is good, but they are a shadow of what they were.
Mm-hmm.
And on, so is Ohio State, by the way, with the secondary. But listen, I don't see them losing. I don't see them losing to Penn State. I don't see them losing to Oklahoma. I don't see them losing to Nebraska.
So you're seeing maybe one loss to Michigan?
Yeah, and I think they could. They may slip up between Iowa and Nebraska, one of those two teams.
Iowa upset Michigan last year.
Right, end of the year. But I think Michigan's got to have it. I think the Michigan game's going to be dicey because that's in Ann Arbor, correct? It's a road game for Ohio State. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't like that. I don't like that for Ohio State. Especially, think if they roll in there unbeaten. That's nuts.
Mm-hmm.
Who else? Who's number four?
Number four, Georgia, under 8.
Really?
Mm-hmm. The Bulldogs get Tennessee, Notre Dame, Auburn, and Georgia Tech all on the road.
Ooh. Georgia Tech sucks because that's last game of the year before maybe an SEC championship game. That's a tough
in-state rivalry. There's also Florida and Jacksonville.
See, the cocktail party, I think Florida with Greer. Actually, he left.
He's at West Virginia.
He's West Virginia, sorry. With Zaire,
yeah,
quarterback.
That's what they just got.
I think they could be pretty nice. So I think Florida could be a pain. Going to Notre Dame, what are they thinking? Why are they playing that? What are they doing? They should be Tennessee, period. I like over. I like Georgia winning at least 9.
Okay.
I think they should. Good quarterback.
Number 3, he has USC taking the under 9.5.
I said that. I think SC schedule's not fun. Don't they have Stanford and Texas to open up back-to-back? They could be 0-2 if someone whacks their quarterback.
I mean, that was the big thing last year was their schedule, right? That it was going to be impossible to go through.
Because
their over 100 last year, I think, was just 7.5 because of how brutal that schedule was.
Yeah, I mean, they beat Washington and Seattle last year. They beat Penn State, in the Rose Bowl. That this is pre-bowl game. I like SC with a bowl win to be about 9-4, okay?
Yeah.
But I think Texas and Stanford, they'll probably split that. They should be 2-0, but who knows? They still have Notre Dame. They still have UCLA. They have Oregon this year. Maybe. I don't know. But give me 2.
West Virginia, Mountaineers, over 7.
Yeah, I think you go with the Scullet. We'll wrap up the number one money choice next.
Welcome back to the Hail Varsity Radio Show. Here's Chris and Jay.
Busy one, thanks to our friend Mitch Sherman, ESPN.com, Rick Pizzo, Big Ten Network. And we hear from our friend Stacy Leonards from time to time, blurparties.com. Blur does an amazing job for pregame tailgates for Nebraska, but they are going to set it off in such a great way for the College World Series not far from the ballpark. Stacy is with us here on Hail Varsity Radio to touch on Blur Parties and what's going on when it comes to premier hospitality. Right to cross from Ameritrade Stadium. Stacy, you getting ready for the CWS? How you doing?
Hi. Oh, doing good. Yes, we are full board here, getting ready for the College World Series to start in about a week.
It is
week and
just,
a half.
Yeah, just around the corner, and there's some teams that have some former Nebraska flavor alive, and we'll see what A&M does. And of course, all the folks that love the CWS are kind of rooting for the LSUs of the world, and you have some familiar teams there, but you're kind of a staple, too, with what Blur's been doing in Omaha with the CWS and the hospitality tailgate you have across from Ameritrade. Tell folks a little bit about the tailgate you put on, what's available, and just the convenience factor that is going to make that CWS experience even greater with Blur.
Oh, sure. We have a hospitality tailgate location right across the street from TD Ameritrade, actually right across from the main entrance where the statue is at, hosting our 7th year, actually. And, you know, it's a great way to entertain clients and friends. We book corporate groups and individuals buy tickets as well online and come and hang out with their friends, kind of an all-day, all-encompassing pass with food and drink, and people can kind of come and go all day. We've got the games on, music, we've got hammocks and lounge chairs, and just kind of a fun outdoor environment. We're 40 yards from the stadium, and so every year, too, we entertain a handful of teams that are coming into town, so we're watching the brackets pretty close right now and cheering everybody on.
Well, so you're a foul ball away, which is awesome. You have a hammock There are food and drink specials, and it's a all-day experience for yourself if you're a fan, for you and your son or daughter if you want to head up to Blur, or if it's time to take some buddies out, or maybe it's a business outing, and why not close the deal over baseball? That sounds like a plan to me. Blurparties.com is where you can log on. Stacy, folks can purchase tickets that way, correct? Blurparties.com, is that where they need to go?
Absolutely. They can either go online and buy them there, pretty quick, easy way, or they can give us a call to our phone numbers on the website as well.
Stacy's with us here, Blur Parties, and they'll be kicking it off the right way in Omaha for the College World Series. What'd she say, 40 feet, 40 yards?
Yeah, 40 yards.
40 yards from TD Ameritrade's entrance. So it is right there for you. If you haven't experienced it, please do so. Make a point to go visit Blur and have a great time with your College World Series experience. Stacy, real quick, kind of give folks, if they're trying to think of the location, kind of paint that picture in people's mind's eye for us real quick before we say goodbye.
Oh, sure. We're at actually 1313 Cummings Street. We're right across the street, like I mentioned, in the parking lot from the main entrance to the stadium, which is there on 1314 Cummings. And, yeah, like you said, it's just a foul ball away. We're on the west side of the stadium.
Well,
that
is tremendous. Stacy, we will see you soon. Thanks for thinking of us, and can't wait to see what Blur has going for 2017 in the CWS. Thanks again for a few minutes.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you so much.
Awesome stuff. Blurparties.com, Stacy Leonard's. And if you haven't experienced Blur, and listen, I've had friends go up. I've checked it out, not only just for football, but for baseball. You got hammocks and comfy areas and food and drink and the TV setup. Not that you don't want to go to the game, you do. But if you get tired of maybe where your seats are, at home experience, the TJ Henning is so, I just want to spread out and kind of just do my thing.
Yeah, I got to sprawl out, man.
Got to sprawl out. But you can do that at board parties and be all good.
Oh, yeah.
We were talking college football and Tom Fornelli's picks to make you coin when it comes to the over-unders. We've gone 5-1, number 5. Let's recap.
Ohio State.
Ohio State, take the under. Take them at 10 wins or below.
Mm-hmm.
4.
Georgia. Under 8.
8. So they'll win 7 is what Tom is saying. Number 3.
Under 9.5, USC.
SC won't get the 10 pre-bowl game. That means a 9 and 3 regular season. That could happen with their schedule. Number 2.
Number 2 is actually probably my favorite. Over for 7, West Virginia.
I like the Skullet.
I mean, think about it.
I like their quarterback. I like their talent. I just like what West Virginia's got going.
They're underrated. And if they can lose 4 games and still have it, they could lose Oklahoma State, Oklahoma, Virginia Tech, K-State. Like,
I haven't seen their schedule.
Those games. Those are some of the teams they're playing.
I know
there.
2 years ago, Dana was going to get fired, or they thought he was going to be done. And then I know it didn't go well for them last year. They were 8-9-1, and Oklahoma came in, and it was a blizzard, that blizzard game, and OU didn't blink and just rolled them.
Mm-hmm.
This might be the year, though, that West Virginia has all of their just brutal games on the road, where they're on the road. I mean, they had most of the teams visit them. This last year,
they're at TCU, at Baylor, at K-State, at Oklahoma.
So they get Okie State at home. But it is that year, that odd year, where they're on the road for most of them. So that could be dicey. I haven't seen their non-conference yet. Number one,
Bozak, East Carolina, Delaware State.
Oh, so they do have Virginia Tech to open up. That's not good. Number one,
Tennessee, over 7.
I think they get over 7, too. Now, you have a new quarterback. You have a lot of skill spots.
Mm-hmm.
Butch is crazy.
Yeah, but he's saying,
he's kind of like, he's TV preacher crazy, where he'll make a lot of money.
Yeah, he's saying, you know, even through all their injuries and them starting 5-0, they still went 8-4, and it's in the SEC East, so he thinks they can get them to 8-4. So, I don't know. I can get with that one. Honorable mention, Iowa, over 6.5. Louisville, over 9.
I think Louisville, with Lamar back, they lose a lot of defense. They're not going to sneak up on anybody. this is the year where they got to go to Tallahassee and they get to host Clemson. Remember how they faded, though?
Mm-hmm.
They were a really good football team. They lost to Clemson, and then they kind of faded down the stretch after beating Florida State early in the year. They were upset, too, I think, by Carolina or somebody like that. So I like Louisville to be right at 9.
Okay.
I don't think they get to 10, though, until the bowl game.
Pittsburgh, over 7.5. And then these last two I find really interesting. He's going over 8 for Oregon and under 7.5 for Nebraska.
Hmm. So he thinks Nebraska's right at 7 instead of 8, which means he thinks Iowa, if he's picking Iowa to get to that 7th win, it means it's against Nebraska. There you go. Check the poll question out, HailVarsity.com. Who would you rather beat, Wisconsin or Iowa? You can only have one. That isn't fair. Both. Both is the answer. It's not the question, though. Caller 4, Salt Dog, these VIPs.
Yep, 4-pack.
VIP 4-pack for you and the fam.
By tomorrow's now, game.
Tomorrow's game, Caller 4. VIP 4-pack for the Salt Dogs. Caller 4, 466-3776.
Former black shirt, Jay Moore.
That thing is big, Jay. That thing looks hurt, Jay. Oh, man, pull back up, Jay. Jay, we could get some big money for that.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Well, thanks so much for spending time tuning in. Your chance at the Father's Day smoker coming up. Listen for that cue to call before we say goodbye. Good stuff from Mitch Sherman, ESPN.com. Great stuff from Rick Pizzo, Big Ten Network. We are efforting Cedric Golden tomorrow. We are locked in with Mike Leach, the old pirate, and Mike Shewhart. Shewie will be with us. The Smoking Hot Dad promotion, your chance to qualify shortly. Our first smoker giveaway is Friday. Our next smoker giveaway, after a week of qualification, a week from Friday. And not only do you get a smoker, but also a gift card to Leon's Gourmet Grocer, $250 gift card. What else? Well, that Leon's gift basket includes spices, rubs, wood chips, wood planks, and a steak certificate. The only thing I can't do is get Vogel here to prep your pork butt or ribs. But if you're nice to him, maybe.
Maybe he'll show up.
Maybe he'll show up. Nebraska Satellite Camp Tour continues. Log on HailVarsity.com, the latest on that. We spent a lot of time talking about Max Duggan and if he's realistic for Nebraska. I think Nebraska will be able to close in on him, but they're going to have to do some talking, some convincing, because the kid loves Notre Dame. He grew up an Iowa fan. And Nebraska kind of late to the party on this. But they got to the party. That's important. You get lost in the country, and then you find your way to the party finally. All right. We shall get you qualified right now for that Smoking Hot Dad Smoker.
Hey, can one of your weathermen come over here and comment on the meat while I'm cooking it?
Yeah, I got it.
Man alive, there's nothing better than a hamburger grilled to perfection.
Yeah, don't flip them too often now. You don't want to lose your juices.
Caller 9 now at 402-466-ESPN is instantly qualified to win a brand new smoker this Friday from ESPN 1480.
Smoking!
There you have it, caller 9, 466-3776, 466-3776. 1-800-825-5865. Caller 9 qualifies for the Smokin' Hot Dad Smoker. We'll give it away Friday here on Hail Varsity. Southern County Stainless Steel Electric Smoker, 251 square inch cooking surface, 5.5 cord water pan, sliding access door, built-in temp gauge, valued at just shy of $550. Caller 9 qualifies. That giveaway is Friday. Don't buy yourself a smoker. Don't expect Mom and Junior to figure out that you want one. Listen into ESPN and Hail Varsity and qualify to win it. Gregeth and Smith will also qualify you tomorrow. So be caller 9 right now, and you got to listen for that cue to call. 466-3776, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865. Be awful nice to TJ because he'll be drawing the winners on Fridays. 800-825-5865 or 466-3776 can tap the line. Chilling Bridge Court can tap house. Dial those numbers now and qualify for your smoker. Smoking on Dad promotion. Big thanks to TJ Henning, Mitch Sherman, Rick Pizzo. I'm Chris Schmidt. Thank you for tuning in. Miss any part of the program, log on HailVarsity.com and get the podcast or iTunes or the ESPN 1480 app. Talk to you tomorrow at 4:00.